first Yes to Life show 2016. The year ahead looks set to be an exciting one, with the accelerating rate of change in healthcare as public awareness and pressure builds rapidly. And it's none too soon for change in cancer care. The toxic combination of appalling late and misdiagnosis figures and some of the worst statistics in Europe for cancer incidence and mortality means that the UK is not a great place to get cancer. The Medical Innovation Bill and the Off-Patent Drug Bill have each sought to bring a little ray of hope, but so far have been dispensed with summarily. However, they're not dead yet and will be back shortly in the form of a combined, revamped Access to Medical Treatments Innovation Bill. Meanwhile, public demand for integrative approaches has never been higher, as we know from the helpline at Yes to Life. And there's a growing understanding that cancer patients are not getting the whole picture from their oncologist. So I plan to be speaking to many of the key players pushing the agenda for integrative oncology forward throughout the year. In today's show, I'm going to be looking at an orthodox treatment which is currently unavailable in this country. It's a curious thing, but technologies that are not used in the UK, often only for financial reasons, are treated with exactly the same disdain as complementary or alternative approaches. You'll recall the response Asher King's parents got to the suggestion of using a superior form of radiotherapy, proton beam therapy, that held the promise of a far lower level of collateral damage. Today, I'm actually taking a look at proton beam therapy to see what it has to offer. I shall be speaking initially to Dr. Kubesh at the Proton Therapy Centre in Prague, the doctor who treated Asher King, and also to someone who's been treated there. The sound quality from Prague is poor, but hopefully good enough. I feel it's important to hear direct from a doctor involved in treatment to establish the basics. Good morning, Dr. Kubesh. Thank you very much for coming on the Yes to Life show. The Proton Therapy Centre suddenly crashed into the headline news in the UK with the case of Asher King that was played out really publicly. There are many issues around parental treatment choice in the UK, which, of course, this case highlighted is really non-existent in life-threatening circumstances. But these don't actually concern you and your centre. But what became apparent to the public here is that you have a form of treatment that's superior to standard radiotherapy. And it was this fact that made the parents, in this case, so determined to have Asher treated at your centre. The massive publicity surrounding this case has certainly put your centre on the map as far as we in the UK are concerned. But it's also made us aware that PBT, proton beam therapy, is an existing option. Could you start off by explaining, as far as possible in layman's terms, what are the essential differences between radiotherapy and proton beam therapy?
Well, radiotherapy is called in the UK. Usually refers to radiotherapy using high-energy X-rays, that means photons. Proton beam therapy is also a form of radiation therapy, but it uses high-speed protons instead of X-rays. The photons are going through the body and they are giving energy continuously during the radiation, during going through the body. But protons can be controlled to stop at precise location in the patient body. This means that protons will irradiate less healthy tissue than photon radiotherapy.
Okay, so is that they're actually not going right through the body and causing damage on the way out. They actually stop at the place that you want them to stop.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Okay, so radiotherapy techniques, as we know, have improved significantly in recent years with their ability to more accurately damage a tumour and to minimise the damage to the surrounding tissue, particularly the areas in front and behind the tumour as they've been passed through. So they've done this by being very much more accurate and coming in different directions. But presumably you're maintaining that proton beam therapy is better than the best of radiotherapy.
Yeah, that is true that the X-ray therapy improved significantly in recent years. I worked in the past with conventional radiation therapy techniques, so I have seen this improvement firsthand. X-ray radiation therapy techniques have changed but the type of aviation used hasn't changed. So if you are still using X-rays, you will expose more healthy tissue to radiation than from protein beam. So what improvement can protein beam offer? Protein beam can offer less irradiation of healthy tissue, and of course, due to this fact, you can irradiate tumor with higher doses.
I see. Okay, so it can be more effective.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's two aspects of concern with standard radiotherapy. There's, as we've discussed already, the short-term collateral damage just from the treatment itself. But then there's also a very long-term risk of new cancers just from exposure to the radiation. I assume it's a bit early to know for certain, but how do you expect proton beam therapy to compare with radiotherapy when it comes to these long-term risks?
Both this collateral damage depends on the dose of radiation. So short-term collateral damage is less because you are irradiating smaller volume of tissues. And long-term collateral damage, we have enough of data from US and Japan because protein beam therapy is used from end of 1990, from maybe more than 15 years.
Oh, really? It's had some fairly long use in the Far East, you say. So from that, there's reason to believe that actually the chance of recurrences of new cancers caused by radiotherapy is lower.
Yeah, because you have a lower integral dose of radiation and secondary cancer are due to a high integral dose. It's one of reasons of secondary cancer which are caused with radiation.
Okay, so by being able to be much more specific about where the radiation is arriving just in the tumour, that inherently you're going to cause less trouble elsewhere.
Yeah. The radiation isn't just to the tumor, but the volume of irradiated healthy tissue is much more lower.
Okay, so these are two different treatments. Do you see proton beam therapy as ultimately being better than radiotherapy and therefore replacing it, or do they each have their own place?
Proton beam therapy. I'm sure that proton beam therapy will replace some percentage of X-ray therapy, but not all. Mainly because proton beam is much more sensitive to movement of tumor tissue, to changes of anatomical structures, and so on. So there are diagnoses which cannot be irradiated with proteins.
I see. So can you just explain a bit more? When you say movement and structure, can you tell us specifically
I think that proton beam will not be used for radiation, for example, stomach cancer, because stomach is moving.
I see.
And changing of the shape.
Right. I see.
Dimensions.
Right, so what you're saying is that it's got to be in a more stable area of the body to be treated effectively.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. But radiotherapy does get used for those situations, doesn't it? But do they use a more general radiotherapy over the area?
Yeah, that is. X-ray will treat more general area, but proteins are not able to stop at the exact site inside the body due to changes of the shape and guts and so on.
Yeah, so you could end up actually giving a lot of treatment to the wrong area.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Right, okay. So at your centre, you following on from the Asher King case, you do actually make a point of highlighting proton beam therapy is a great treatment for children. Why in particular for children? What makes it so suitable for children?
the children's are more sensitive to any doses of radiation. So in the children radiation therapy, we try to reduce doses of radiation as much as possible. And proton beam can reduce radiation to healthy tissue much more than photon radiation.
Okay, and so the reason you're aiming to do this is because the children are growing so fast. And
are growing, and the growing tissues are more sensitive to radiation, to any doses of radiation.
Right.
So the aim is to avoid any radiation outside the tumor or target volume.
I see. Okay. So can you tell me a bit, I understand you've got a good range of diagnostic tools available at your centre, which mean you can give a very quick service of diagnosis and the appropriate treatment if somebody travels to your centre. Can you tell us what you've got on offer there and give us an idea of the whole service?
Yeah, for precise form of radiation, you need a lot of precise information about the tumor location. So usually we are using three diagnostic tools for tumor detection and delineation. Those are CT machines, MRI machines, and so-called PET CT machines.
Yes.
Positron emission tomography machines. And usually we are combine all methods for treatment planning.
Okay, so just say, I'm a patient in England. I have a diagnosis of prostate cancer, say, and I'm considering coming to you. What service could you offer me?
Well, first you will meet with our radiation oncologist and our urologist. You will have a urological examination. You will have a procedure for insertion of fiducial markers to the prostate, because we are using so-called image-guided radiation therapy for each fraction of radiation.
Okay.
Then you will have CT scan, you will have MRI scan, and in some cases of high-risk prostate cancer, we also will offer you a PET CT scan with Holine for detection of disease extension.
That's a lot of scans. You have a huge amount of information from that. Maybe you could just tell us a bit about why you use so many different kinds of scan and what kind of information do you get from each?
Yeah. Well, from CT scan, we need for exact dose calculation. Calculation of dose of proton radiation can be done only on CT scans.
Mm-hmm.
MRI scan we need for prostate delineation and healthy tissue delineation, like rectum or bladder or some other organs in pelvic region. And if there is high-risk prostate cancer, PET CT with Holine is the best available method to detect extension of disease to lymph nodes or to other sites in the body. We need this information because we cannot evaluate the patient with some metastatic disease.
Okay, so that's important. So you're making clear with that whether the tumor is contained in the prostate or whether it's escaped into one of the organs nearby.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the treatment is not suitable then. Okay.
Yeah.
And how about PET scan?
Well, the PET scan is the best available examination for exclusion of metastatic disease.
Okay, and that's because it will actually pick up disease anywhere in the body.
Yeah.
I'm just interested to know how many people are actually using your centre, coming to the centre from the UK. Are you having quite a few people across there now?
In last year, we had approximately 40 people from UK.
Okay, and a lot of these been children as a result of the case that was in the news?
No. Majority of them were patients with prostate and brain tumors.
Okay, yeah. So maybe you could just tell me a bit about the range of tumors that you treat with proton beam therapy.
Well, we are treating brain tumors, some selected examples of head and neck tumors, like paranodal sinus tumors or nasopharyngeal tumors.
Mm-hmm.
We are treating lymphomas, especially mediastinal forms of Hodgkin or non-Hodgkin disease.
Mm-hmm.
We are treating pancreatic cancer, some sarcomas in abdominal region, prostate, of course.
Yes.
And we started with some selected patients with lung cancer and breast cancer.
Okay, so a few questions about that then. First thing is, you just said selected patients with lung and breast cancer. On what basis do you select them?
Well, for example, breast cancer patients, we are treating left-sided breast cancer in a young woman where the reduction of dose to the heart, the cerebral, and can be achieved with standard X-ray.
All right. Okay. And how about with lung?
We are doing it's more complicated because we are able to treat patients which are able to be irradiated in deep inspiration breath hold. That means that this patient might be cooperating and in a relatively good performance, in a relatively good condition.
Yes.
And we are not treating a small tumor, we are not treating a large tumor, something between.
Okay.
And tumor should not move much.
Oh, through breathing, you mean?
So that's very complicated.
Yeah, I understand. So, but the tumors, they've got to be large enough for you to treat, but not so big that it won't be effective.
Yeah.
Okay, and you mentioned pancreatic cancer, which of course there's very little on offer to people who have pancreatic cancer. How many patients have you treated?
I don't know. We had, it isn't a big group for us. 30 patients with pancreatic cancer.
30.
Our indication is inoperable, non-metastatic pancreatic cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And we are able to deliver a relatively high dose to the tumor. And our patient has no local progression
until
now. But they have, of course, some metastatic disease. But we think that we can prolong survival for this patient.
Right. Without too many side effects.
Without too many side effects, yeah.
Yeah. So that's very good for pancreatic cancer. Now, in the not-too-distant future, of course, we will actually get proton beam therapy here in the UK. It'll be new. We won't have the experience with it and all the rest of it. But once that's the case, once we have it here, are there still going to be reasons to consider coming to Prague to see you?
Yeah. Well, I think that during the next maybe 5 years, there will be more and more evidences for proton beam in many diagnoses. So I think that if we will have 5 centers, for example, for UK, it will not be enough.
And presumably there is an element of this where actually experience of using the treatment will count as well. Where how long has your centre had proton beam therapy?
We started 3 years ago.
So it was actually quite new at the time that Asher King came then, because he was last year. So it's a very new treatment, but you say for the Japanese have had it for quite a bit longer.
Yeah, they are in operation more than 15 years.
Yeah, how come it took so long to get from the Far East to the West?
Well, I don't know.
It's strange. I mean, you know, normally the West likes technology.
Because in Europe, the proton therapy is also from the end of from the last century. Or, for example, proton therapy in Paris is from 1995, I think.
Oh, really?
So in Europe, there is also 20 years experience with proton beam. But the technology is more available in the last 10 years, maybe.
Right. It's become easier to build the machines in some way, has it?
Yeah.
I understand. Yeah, right. Okay, so it makes it more viable. But they're still enormously expensive, of course.
Yeah, I think that it's less expensive than 20 years ago.
Mm, right. Just coming back to Asher King, I mean, out of interest, what exactly was it that made proton beam therapy a better option in his case? Why were his parents so determined not to have the treatment that was offered in the UK and to come to you?
Well, this is a case of cranial spinal irradiation, so you must irradiate a large volume in of the body, and proton will not irradiating organs in front of vertebral columns, like lungs, like heart, like stomach, and so on. So the reduction of radiation in the case of cranial spinal irradiation is very big. But on the other hand, for management and arrangement, cranial spinal irradiation in children, it is very, very complicated to arrange everything in time to transport children. So, it is, if you have facility for protein in England, you will send situation automatically to this. But
right.
If you have not, it's very complicated to arrange everything.
Yes, I understand. So it was their determination that made it happen in this case, but it was a long shot. But nonetheless, you're saying if this treatment was available in the UK, there would be no doubt that in that case it would have been a preferred treatment.
Yeah.
And I read in the papers in March this year that Asher was cancer-free. Do you know if this is still the case? Are you following up his case?
Well, we have information from the attending physician in Spain that everything is okay. So the visit of Asher in Prague wasn't for medical checkup. So we have this information from attending physician.
No. So he seems to have done really well. And do you know how he is generally? I mean, obviously their concern was with the side effects of radiotherapy. So do you know how his general health is as after the treatment?
He started at school, so I think that...
That's a good sign.
Well, he's in a very good condition now.
Great. Well, that's very good to hear. It must be very satisfying for you.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Thank you very much for speaking to us today. I mean, proton beam therapy is clearly a big step forward in treatment for many cancers, so hearing more about it is really welcome.
Thank you. I'm sure that proton will find the right place in oncological treatment.
I hope you were able to follow Dr. Kubesh okay. Next, I shall be talking to Lloyd Bantleman, who has been treated by Dr. Kubesh and who is now promoting proton beam therapy in the UK. Good morning, Lloyd. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Okay.
So as far as the general public was concerned, proton beam therapy was pretty much unheard of in the UK until the very high-profile case of Asher King hit the headlines. And along with the news came the fact that the place to get this treatment was Prague. So you've travelled to Prague for this same treatment, but not for brain cancer, I understand. Could you start off by telling us about your diagnosis and the options you were offered for treatment in the UK?
Yeah, absolutely. The options I was offered in the UK came off, obviously, the diagnosis. I'd been to my doctor, who suggested that I had a blood test, and that blood test took a couple of weeks to sort out and get results back. And the results confirmed what he suspected, and that was that I probably had prostate cancer. And the blood test revealed that my PSA was 10.5.
Right.
He told me the sort of average for a man of my age is around the 3 mark, 3 to 4. And 10.5, he reckoned that I would need to see a consultant who would give me more information.
Yeah.
So I got referred to a local consultant. That took a few weeks to sort out, and by the time I actually saw him, I'd done a bit of research about all the sort of different options, and the consultant, actually, he recommended that I would have and the operation to have to have it removed.
Right.
That was just based on the blood test, not a biopsy?
No. He said, based on what he thought, it would probably be, I would need to have it removed. But prior to that, he said, look, he wanted me to go for a biopsy.
Right.
And so they could confirm what type of tumor or how aggressive the cancer might be.
Right.
So I had, again, that took a few weeks to organize. I went in. I actually opted to be put out for it because when I actually found out what that meant, I thought, good grief, no, I'm not having that happen to me. Right. I'm certainly being awake.
I don't blame you.
There's no way of sticking things around there with me being awake. So I actually got that sorted out. And when I went back to see the specialist, he said that the Gleason score was a 7.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the actual interesting part, because the Gleason goes from 6 to 10, 6 being a very low, slow-moving cancer.
Yes.
7 being the sort of early intermediate level. 8, 9, and 10 obviously being the higher levels of tumour.
Yeah.
And how aggressive the cells might be. So in my case, it was 3s and 4s, which was, again, off the 7 category, was the more gentle, I suppose, or the less aggressive
right.
form of cancer. So it doesn't really depend on your PSA, because your PSA could be just slightly raised, but if your Gleason suggests or shows that the cells are more aggressive, that's the chance that the cancer can break out of the prostate
yes.
and go into other parts of the body. So his suggestion was, well, his words to me were, look, Lloyd, let's get this removed and you can go on with the rest of your life, no problems, don't worry about it. For me, that was just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But he did suggest that I spend time looking at the other options such as radiotherapy and brachytherapy, etc., just to get my full sort of, I had a full experience of what was open to me. But the point of what he never mentioned at any stage, especially in the early days, was about the side effects.
Right.
It was only when I started speaking to the other specialists, I said, what did he tell you about the side effects of that operation? I went, side effects? There aren't any from what I know, apart from it's going to be a bit uncomfortable for a couple of weeks. I might need a catheter while things heal up. And, well, if that's what it means, that's what it means. They went, no. That means if they operate on you and they have to remove the full nerve, the nerve bed, that means total erectile dysfunction.
Right.
Plus, you have the possible side effects of incontinence, etc.
Yeah.
Albeit for a short while.
Amazing how they can overlook these things, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I thought, good God, I just don't fancy that at all. I was only 55 at the time.
Mm.
So I said to the radiotherapist, well, what does yours do? He said, well, the reality is you don't go through the same trauma of an operation, but radiotherapy, again, 1 in 2 men will suffer from erectile dysfunction. It could last for the rest of your life. It could wear off. And invariably you also have the sort of bowel problems that are associated with using radiation.
Mm-hmm.
If I can explain what it actually means is, from a visual point of view, it's like using a blunderbuss. It takes everything out.
Right.
It takes out the cancer in the prostate, but actually hits the bladder and the bowel, everything around that, because it's not targeted. It just does its bit. And I said to myself, well, what about quality of life? And the specialist said, we're not talking about quality of life. We're talking about cure and living. As far as we're concerned, providing we've killed it and you're alive, we've done our job.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
That's it's a kind of black and white picture, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, whichever way you did it, you're knackered. There's not, what else can you say?
Yeah.
Hormone therapy, they went giving that, they went offering that to me because I was too young for it. And they also said it's too aggressive. It's, you know, at a seven, it's we need to get this out or we need to get killed. One way or the other, we have to get this thing sorted out. The worst bit for me in all of this, Robin, was the actual time. The time I'd gone to all these characters, gone to different places to get this treat, you know, this advice or find out about that treatment or what it, you know, what it might be.
Mm-hmm.
It was months.
Yes.
Actually, months were going past. And the sort of impact on my home, business, and more than anything else, my poor wife, she's
worried sick.
Because she can't tell me how she feels, but she didn't want to put any more pressure on me than
right.
I already had. So she's suffering in bloody silence. It was heartbreaking because I had to look at her and know what else she's thinking. And it was at this time that the Asher King story came out. And it wasn't so much that I was inspired that, oh, it was Prague, because I didn't know at that time that they had gone to Prague. It was that I'd just known that they'd actually turned their back on the NHS and said, no, we're not accepting this anymore.
Right.
We're going to go look for our own options.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, good on the man. Because as a business, I don't take the first word or second word of anybody. I always look and research. But for some reason, I'm just nodding my head. Oh, okay. You know, okay, doctor, that's what you say. Almost like I was frightened to challenge what these people were saying.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. And I reckon so many men in this country do that. Because you can bury our heads. We can play the ostrich syndrome, you know. Oh, that's what the doctor said, and it's fine. It's not bloody fine, is it? Men are dying every year from this.
Oh, huge numbers.
10,000 men die.
Yeah.
10,000. 40,000 diagnosed, 10,000 die.
Mm.
25%. That's horrific.
It is.
Once I began to realize these stats, I thought, I've got to start looking elsewhere. Because obviously, men are being failed quite dramatically. There is no early screening. There's no information about, you can find out about your prostate cancer or have you checked, but nobody tells you about the different forms of treatment or especially the side effects. It's almost brushed aside.
Mm.
It was at this time that I found out about the Asher King story. When I started doing my research, I found that proton therapy has been used in the United States on prostate cancer for well over 20 years. And thousands of men have been treated and cured. And the rate of success is huge. It's the high 90s.
Mm.
And when I started falling out, there was a place called Loma Linda. They're a very famous institute. And I phoned them up and they quoted me something like, I think it was between $125,000 and $150,000, and it would take about 3 months, which was, I thought, yeah, that's rather stiff.
Yeah, right.
But anyway. And then, again, there are a few other places, far more advanced than now. San Diego is another one. But the price and the amount of time that they take in the States and the procedures that they use over there, I thought that's a bit, you know, that's real, very expensive. Takes 2 to 3 months in some cases. And my business couldn't afford me to be away. Not for that amount of time. And on top of it, you've got to put all your flights, your accommodation, your food, all this. Yeah, you're talking, I know, knocking on the door of $200,000.
Yes.
And I couldn't either take that out of the business, because the business couldn't afford for me to, at the end, to take it out. And or neither could it, my personal home. You know, I couldn't do that to the family. Because I said to my wife and my sons, look, the money we've got aside, that's for our rainy day. And you know, all three of them said, Dad, It is the rainy day.
All right.
It's pouring with rain. You know, for God's sake, do something. You know, use every penny if you want. Just do it. Well, I've been to another meeting with another specialist here. I came back to the office and I turned my computer on. I said, it was just like an act of God. This thing popped up on my screen.
Yeah.
It must have been the cookies but it just said, Proton Therapy Prague.
Yeah, there's the best of personal adverts, eh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I said to my wife, she works with me, and I said, that's going to be the answer. So she came around and we just looked at each other and I phoned them up. And, you know, within 10 minutes, they came back to me. And they didn't talk about money. They didn't talk about proton therapy. They just asked me how I felt. This lovely girl on the phone, and her name was Brooke. She said to me, how do you feel? And then I told her, you know, I had a little bit of a blubber at times, so it was a bit emotional. But, she didn't mind. There was nothing. They were just really caring, good people. And I said, can I come across? She says, no, don't come across yet. We will only see you if we think we can help you. Send us all your details. So I went to get all my details together, and a few days I sent it all across. They have a dedicated line to send all your documents to, so it's all secure and stuff. And again, within 3 days, they met with Dr. Kumbesh and his team, and they said, yeah, we think we can help you and sort this out. It's something we can look at very easily. Why don't you just come for an initial consultation? And I said, all right. So how much is that going to cost me? And he said, well, £99.
Right. It's a bit more like it.
compared with the £300 that they charge you here for a 2-second meeting to tell you they're going to rip your bits a bit apart. So I went across. They had another meeting with me. And again, this time with Dr. Kubesh, he didn't talk about... He's a specialist. And what he did is he talked about all the forms of treatment, from hormone therapy, what the side effects, what brachytherapy, side effects, radical prostatectomy, side effects. He told me everything. You know, I wish somebody over here would have gone, right, Lord, sit down, we'll tell you, this is, I'm a specialist in this area, these are all the different forms of treatment, these are the side effects, make your mind up, mate. Let's, you know, this is my opinion, that here, one person could have done all that, but no, I had to wait nearly 4 months before I got all that information together.
Right.
And at the same time, remember that bloody prostate problem is growing.
Yes.
Okay? So, he explained everything. And right at the end, he said, right, proton therapy does this. And he explained that the form of proton therapy that they have, or the procedures that they have in the Czech Republic, it's pencil beam. And basically, you lie down on a gantry. They've already done all the sort of masks and course and sort of stuff where you get fixed onto the machine. And it just fires a ray through your hip and into your prostate. It doesn't pass through the body into the surrounding tissue. So the likelihood of bowel problems and incontinence is very, very low. And also, because it's so targeted, they can actually pinpoint where the tumours are and take them out, metaphorically speaking,
right,
with the radiation. But because the radiation, because it's so precise, they don't have to deliver such massive doses to the general area. They can deliver a real massive dose to an exact point. Okay?
Yes.
And as I said, what about the erectile dysfunction? He said, very, very low chance of that happening. And indeed, when I'd phoned, and he gave me a list of people who'd been treated, and he said, phone any of them. And when I did, nobody had any problems with the erectile dysfunction. It didn't happen. So he took another blood test. And bearing in mind, when I started, it was 10.5. It was now 13.5. In just a few months, there'd been a 25% increase in the activity. So I said, right, well, let's get down to brass tacks. How long will this take and how much? He quoted me £16,000 and 5 days.
Well, that's a bit more doable, isn't it?
Oh, how many people don't pull down the blooming car? You can stick in the credit card. It wasn't 5 days. You've got to go for a week where they do everything again. That they'll give you another MRI, CT scan, blood, just to make sure exactly where. They don't take the word of anybody else. They check themselves to make sure. Then Dr. Kubesh and his team sit around, all the results, review everything, and they say, right, this is the form of treatment. And in my case, they said, we can do it with a short form. There's a 5-day or a 21-day. And the 5-day is the £16,000 one. And it's after you've had your initial week, they start, and it's every other day over a 10-day period.
I see.
Every other weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it lasted about 2 minutes a day. By the time I'd gone, got my kids off, got on the machine, got strapped, came back out, my wife hadn't even had her coffee.
Right.
We were just literally going back out. And honestly, I felt fantastic. We were out into Prague. We were in the gym. It was like a holiday for 3 weeks.
Mm.
I felt a bit guilty, actually. And at the end, when I said to him, I said, how do I know, you know, it worked? He looked at me and went, what do you mean? He says, you've been treated. It was like he couldn't quite compute what I was saying to him. Like, you know, how do I know?
Yeah.
I said, go and have a blood test in 3 months' time and see what it is. He said, you'll be fine. And we came home. In November, I went for my blood test. 3.8.
This was November when? Was it last year?
It's November. Yeah, just November. Just now. All this happened in June. I went, and it's 3.8. Normal. So I went to see them, and he said, and they phoned me up all the time. In fact, I was a bit late going because of work commitments, and they were phoning me, have you been yet? I said, oh my God, all right, okay, I'll go. And when I actually phoned them up, they said, they were overjoyed. And
right.
They said, look,
great.
This is going to keep dropping for about another year. They expected to drop to about one.
Right.
And so that's really my story. That's what I've done. And I now work with them, trying to promote physiotherapy. And we've also actually opened, I've just launched a website called Compare Cancer Treatments.
Okay.
Where people like myself, for all different cancers, can go to one spot and they can read all the different therapies, all the different treatments, where they can get treated. They can share their stories. It's all in one place. I just thought, if I could do something, that would help. It's not for profit. It's just that people can actually see, right, I've been diagnosed. Here we are. This is what's happened to me. This is where I can get treated. I can get this done free on the NHS if I want to wait. Or these are different places around the world. I can go for treatment.
Mm. Okay, we'll make sure that web address is shared on the Yes Life website. All right. Well, look, interesting. So a few questions. Mm-hmm. Have you talked to your UK oncology team? And what did they, if so, what do they think and say about your decisions and about the treatment you had?
Right. Well, when I spoke to the initial consultant, his words to me were, if you go to have proton therapy, I will see you again.
That's very supportive.
When I went to see, I spoke to a consultant, Roger. He said that there is no evidence that this works for prostate, and I would suggest you come to see me, and I can offer you robotic surgery. And again, price around the 30 to 50 grand mark, depending. He wouldn't even countenance talking about. It was like I was talking Swahili to him. He just wouldn't listen. When I actually got to my original doctor, my old family doctor I've known for years,
yes.
He was over the moon. He said, doctors need to tell people, because he didn't know. But I asked him about proton therapy. He said, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
They have
it's tragic
that they follow.
Yeah.
It is. It really is. And we're going to be trying to contact doctors. I mean, I own an ad agency, so for goodness sake, if I can't get to them, nobody is. So we're going to try and tell doctors about this, because that's the first port of call. If they could say to people, look, here's a leaflet, or go to this site, or just go and check out your options and see what you're actually letting yourself in for, then people might be more inclined to take their lives in their own hands and be more informed.
Mm.
From a doctor's point of view, he was happy.
Yeah.
I mean, from our point of view at Yes to Life, I mean, the kind of responses you've got there are quite common, but they're normally responses to something which is a bit less conventional, if you like. Proton beam therapy is hardly unconventional. It's mainstream medicine, basically, isn't it? But we don't have it here, that's all. And the response seems to be like, well, if we don't do it, it isn't any good.
You've hit it right on the nail there, mate. Yeah. Absolutely.
And the statistics for Britain show that that's hardly the case, because we're languishing way down the table for survival of cancer, you know. And, yeah, so Prague is showing us up. That's the trouble. It's a matter of pride. Say somebody comes to you. I mean, you've got some firm ideas about this, because you've set up this website and everything because you want people to have this information. You know, if somebody came to you in your situation now, what would you say to them?
If you can afford it, or if you can't, whatever you do, you need to know your options, your real options. And if you can get across to Prague, go and get the treatment, because your life will change, not only for yourself, but your family, your partner, your children. The moment I walked through those doors, I just felt the weight of the world lift off my shoulders. Mm. They took care of me so much. I mean, they picked us up from the airport. They ferried us around. It was actually my birthday when I was there. And the managing director of the centre, a guy called Vlasta Roon, actually took Barbara, my wife, and I out for a meal.
Fantastic.
To celebrate my birthday. So just to take your mind off things, come on. Come for a lovely meal, and we become firm friends. Very caring, very. It's not commercial. They know what the rest of the world are charging.
Right.
You know, if they could quite legitimately double their prices, but they haven't.
Yeah.
They keep it so that it is as accessible to people as possible. So, I would say, it's all your options. Don't settle for what the doctors are saying, and the specialists are saying in this country, because it's not always necessarily the best for you. Make your own decisions, and if you can, go to Prague.
So from what you're saying, there's two aspects to this. One is obviously they've got a technical approach there, which we simply don't have in this country, which seems to be very good. But you've also been stressing very much that the attitude of the place and the way that they treated you as a key to you actually being supportive of this. It's like a whole different way of responding to someone in trouble.
Yeah, they really care. They know everybody by their name. I mean, an example I can give you is, When I was there, we'd met this lady from the UK, and she was 65, 66. She was in the sense. She probably was 66, 67, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going for proton therapy, but on a cancer that was in her head or something. And they'd said to her over here, we can't give you this treatment. Even though we have proton therapy in this country for brain, we can't give you that because you're too old. She's too old.
All right. That's price thing, I suppose, that they've just decided as a cut-off. It's not worth it for the number of years life you expect to have or something.
Correct. And if we do, you're almost certainly going to be paraplegic. That it's so close to the nerves. So she had tracked Prague down, came there, and they said, no, you won't be paraplegic. We'll treat you, and it's not a problem. So she was getting the treatment, and we were chatting, and she had been, I think she'd worked in the NHS for years as well. So she says, no, and I think she'd worked on for NICE. I think she'd been involved with that.
Right.
And she said, if I was to listen to what they were saying in the UK, I would have had to just put up with this and ultimately die. And it was paraplegic, and I love walking, I love the outdoor world. And I was so taken with this story. I thought, God, this is so sad. So Prague is not only just about prostate, there's other type of cancers that they work on.
Right.
As you know, with the Asher King story. But the point I was making is, when I was out that night, I'd forgotten the name, this lady's name, which I remember now is Helen. And I said, one of your patients, she's from the UK, I saw her today. And he said, no, what was her name? I said, I don't know. She's quite a short lady, small. She had something with with their brain. And he went, oh, that's Helen. And I mean, what I'm saying is, he doesn't deal with patients necessarily, he just meets them and says hello. But he knew her straight away, he knew the name.
Right.
Yeah, he knew the name of the person. And when I phone even now, and I'm talking, as I said, we're working with them, he knows people, he knows their names, he knows what they do. And that's only because he cares. You know, he's running a business. There's other people, you know, that they have a couple of guys, a fellow there called Mike Cullen, very caring nurse. His father died from prostate cancer. And Michael, he'll either call you up to see how you're doing, you know, what's happened in your life, how the treatment is, how you're feeling now. And the whole team are really just, it seems to me, just good people.
Mm. Great. So that, I mean, there's a big, big lesson for UK healthcare there. I mean, basically, there's a large and now, thankfully, fully acknowledged problem with care and compassion in healthcare in the UK. You know, yeah. Something like a third of complaints are about that. And it's such an important thing for people who are maybe in the most difficult place they've ever been in their life, that they're actually dealt with in a human way. All right. We do have a few proton beam machines heading towards the UK, which should be up and running in the next year or so. They're very costly machines.
But none of them are for prostate.
Right. There's specific types, and they're not going to help people with prostate.
No. They're effectively, we're working with them. In fact, I'm working with the guys in Prague to see if we can build the same facility in the UK.
Okay.
For prostate. And when we start looking, you know, again, you're coming up against all the sort of the bureaucracy of the things, and we've actually found that there is probably maybe half a dozen planned for the UK, but they are focusing on pediatric or child brain, but not for men.
All right.
Not for prostate.
That's strange in a way, because of course those are minority cancers compared with prostate, which is one of the major killers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they can only get through so many. If you imagine, if we could tell men, tell women to get their fellas checked, because I tell you what, I would be more inclined to go and get myself checked if my missus was giving me earache. Have you been checked yet? I tell you what. Because if it's down to us, there will be another reason. Oh, I'm all right. I'll be fine. Don't worry.
I agree. It is a men's problem, this one, of actually finding out about the health, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think, I've been targeting, I've done a couple of ads and things, and it's all about women saying, the headline is, I suffer from prostate cancer. Not that I've got prostate cancer, of course. I suffer from it because I have to live with it. You know, it's got to be that way around. But all these hospitals that are coming, The treatments that they're offering with the proton therapy take so long, they can only actually get through 750 or 1,000 cases a year.
Wow.
So the cost of the NHS is massive, still massive, because they can be backed by that. But if you looked at how quick it is to treat prostate cancer with proton therapy, they can get through so much, so much. And we've actually looked at the figures. We would save the NHS, as a country, if we did this, billions.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right. Because, of course, it's a proper cure is not just great for the patient, of course. It saves an enormous amount of money because they're not back again, you know, 6 months later with secondaries.
Yeah, my dad.
Or other problems.
Now for 17 years.
Right.
17 years, my dad's had it.
Yeah.
He's had the radiotherapy, hormone therapy. Can you imagine the cost of that over the 17 years?
Yeah. Been fantastic talking to you, Lloyd. You're obviously a fount of knowledge and very passionate about getting your message out, which is great. There's a lot of messages need to get out and a lot of people need to hear. And the best people to inform are the public, because they will then make sure they get looked after better. Mm-hmm. So great what you're doing. Do keep it up. And thanks very much for coming on the show today to help spread the word.
Could I just confirm that the website, compare cancer treatment.
Yes, absolutely.
It's comparecancertreatments.co.uk.
Okay, that's fine. And that, as I say, will be shared on the SLife website alongside the show.
So it would seem that proton beam therapy has quite a bit to offer for a range of cancers. Unfortunately, it's not looking as though there will be that much availability in the UK for some time to come, so Prague will continue to be an option worth considering for many people. As usual, look at the Yes to Life website for links to items mentioned in today's show. Go to yestolife.org.uk, Y-E-S-T-O-L-I-F-E, yestolife.org.uk, click the link to the Media Centre in the left-hand sidebar, and then choose UK Health Radio. Next week, I shall be talking to an experienced UK integrative doctor who specialises in supporting people with cancer, and who has just begun practising here again after a very long spell abroad, Dr. Bernard Willis. Goodbye.